You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication.
And Q&As.
Q&As?
You said Q&A podcast.
Yeah, Q&A podcast.
That's what I was saying. So it's the mission of church and Q&A podcasts.
I don't get it.
It's all right. Because you really stink at doing the intro. So I'm just trying to liven it up a little bit.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Well, okay. Here's something different.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus membership.
Yes.
Is going awesome.
Yeah.
It is so fantastic to engage in the office hours on our exclusive Facebook community as well, group, just with our Plus members. And we're getting ready to launch a exclusive gathering.
Should I do music? Is there music playing right now or should I do music?
Let's stop the music right now.
No, wait. Oh, Canada.
Okay, another funny story here. One of our neighbors got us a board book that when you open it up, it starts playing the national anthem here in the States.
Yeah, which and is not Oh, Canada.
No.
Which is way better. Anyway.
So it opens up, and my son, who's now 16 months, every day he'll listen to that.
Yeah. Right? Oh, nice.
So when we went to Canada over the Christmas break, we were trying to find a similar type of book that played the Canadian anthem because he's not American. He's Canadian.
Yeah.
But we couldn't find one.
But he's not think far Canadians from the kingdom.
Canadians aren't as patriotic.
So. No, they are not. They're not, which is a shame. Can you say what the U.S. national anthem is?
Yeah, I mean, hockey. Know.
What is it? What is it?
What is it like? What's to the song? Sing it?
Yeah, just a little bit of it.
Oh, say can you see?
That's true. Okay. Yeah. A lot of people think it's My Country Tis of Thee,
oh, yeah.
Which is not. And then I have to throw you out of here. But what is the tune, My Country Tis of Thee 2? My Country Tis of Thee. You recognize the tune? It's God Save the Queen.
Oh, so yes. We took
your Commonwealth Monarch song. And turned it into a bunch of rabble-rousing revolutionaries' song.
Well, aren't those Americans anyway? So
Yeah. I love it. All right, sorry.
Hey, right on.
Well, I think we've offended nations around the world.
Definitely.
Today.
And we do have quite a contingent, you know, over in Europe. And you know,
yeah. And I'm actually planning.
Yeah.
I'm planning a trip there. So we'll be doing some church planning training in Germany, maybe in Hungary and in the UK. So we're planning a trip there. We should go together.
Yes, we should.
We should take the podcast on the road.
Well, Hungary is actually the country that we have quite a bit of listeners.
Do we?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, right on. Well, anyways, if you haven't done so yet, we want to encourage you to check out Plus Membership on newchurches.com. You'll be able to get your questions answered in a little bit more of a personal manner with office hours. We have ready-to-use resources, behind-the-scenes content, and more. So how about we get into today's question?
Hey everyone, my name is Seth Major, and I am a rookie church planner in New Lenox, Illinois, which is a nearly established suburb, which is growing quickly out of its former rural context. As a reference point for Ed, New Lenox is about 25 miles south of Wheaton College. My question has to do with preparation and planning, and stems from a concern of launching too soon. The vision for the specific church plant that I am leading is for a high-impact launch. And depending on the resource, some will say that you must wait a minimum of 6 to 8 months to launch, while others will say that if you have the critical mass sooner than that, then you should go for it. So I was wondering if you guys could address when the right time to launch is and some strategies to get to that point. I'm thankful for the podcast and all that you do. Thanks.
Right on. So first, I don't know let me why
say he didn't
up.
Assume that you would know the geography. I love that. Listen, Canadian, you wouldn't know where Wheaton is anyway.
I still don't know why he would single you out.
Yeah, I don't know because you don't know geography. Yeah. Remember, we had that long conversation about South Carolina and Fort Sumter, and I was actually wrong.
That was your question.
I was wrong.
Yeah, you were wrong.
I was actually wrong about that. Sumter is not Fort. Anyway, that's another story. But Wheaton is near Chicago. Chicago's a big city.
I know.
In the middle of my country.
Yeah.
It's
my
it's,
country, tis of these.
Yes.
So.
thank you. Oh, Chicago. It's all called the Windy City. You know why?
It's not because it's windy.
Yes.
It's because shady politicians, right?
There you go.
See,
you
know what? I know.
Why is it called the Second City?
I don't know.
Second City because the first city burned down.
What do you mean?
There was a big Chicago fire. You didn't hear about
that drama, Chicago Fires?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm joking.
Go back to Canada.
Hey, so when's the right time to launch a church?
Yeah.
What are some strategies to get to that point as well?
Yeah. Well, first, I don't know. You know, you mentioned people say sometimes launch right away. Some people launch a long time. I don't know. I haven't heard like people talk about this a lot. Let me just tell you what I say. And I don't know that it's the perfect answer, but it's the answer I give when we have this conversation. When I and here's Seth. I'm looking at Seth right now, who, by the way, has a remarkably large forehead, which so do I. So, Seth, I feel we bonded right there. If he could grow a goatee, if he could slap my awesome goatee on him, that would be awesome. All right. So anyway, Seth, back to you and your forehead. So what I typically say is you need to
Okay, everyone wants to see it now. So yeah,
it's Seth Twitter.com. Major underscore.
Yeah, at Seth Major underscore.
That's right. Yeah, so people can see it. And so
it's
we're
pretty good profile pic though. He has really, the brick background.
Yeah. Well, let me suggest you don't comment on people's appearance on Twitter. Wait, I just did. So here's Seth. Here's what I tell people. You need between 3 and 9 months of pre-launch time before you go public. Now, let me give my rationale. Things go really well, 3 months doable, but I don't think 1 month. I mean, I've seen people come in town, launch in a month, and they have a big start because maybe something's got them rolling, but they don't have their systems in place.
Yeah.
And you have to have your systems in place. You can have 500 people at your launch, but if you don't have small groups to assimilate them into, if you don't have children's ministry in most cultures to engage them, if you don't have evangelistic strategies to reach them, you're going to end up with a big launch and half to a third, maybe a quarter of the church a year later. I got to tell you, we call that in church planning the flash in the pan.
Yeah.
Right. So I've seen a lot of flash in the pan where someone comes in, some sort of big buzz. They launch in a month. So I say at least three. My preference is actually six. Now, the tricky thing is it depends on when you're getting to a community. Now you're in New Lenox, and so, you know, you're not going to launch in the wintertime. You know, things get cold and challenging in Chicago. So you're going to probably launch. So January's out. Actually, November, December, January, February are out for you. So you're going to probably launch either in March, April, or you're going to launch in October. Maybe September, October. So those are your options. So now you got to figure out. Now, I don't know how far along you are, Seth, but so let's say you move to New Lenox in June. So you got two windows. You got the September, October window. And if you can get everything in place by then, the launch, great. But probably, I mean, 2-3 months, you might not be able to.
Yeah.
So what I would do in that case is I'd work hard in the fall. I'd start small groups in the fall. I'd even start some preview services in January, kind of some smaller group of people practicing. And then I would launch, not on Easter, but on Palm Sunday. I'd launch if you're going to launch around the holiday. Because then if you have a good launch on Palm Sunday, everyone comes back for Easter, at least a lot of people do. So the end result is that you've gotten some momentum. Now, month-wise, picture this in your head. You show up in June. I told you probably couldn't pull it off by September, October, so you do it by March. Well, you're within the 9-month window. Now, what if you didn't do it by then? Well, you can't launch in summertime because everyone goes, you know, there's always 10,000 things in summer. It's hard to launch in Chicago in summertime. So what happens is then you got to push it to the fall. So now you've gone over a year without plan. And so what happens is the people who started with you in the summer before have now started to drop out because you haven't engaged, you haven't started a church. So that's sort of the timeline that I tend to use, 3 to 9 months. 6 month kind of in the middle optimal, depends on when you arrive in the field compared to when in your culture and community a launch would be appropriate. Now, if you're 9 months in and you don't have your systems in place, you need to start and you need a new model. You need a new approach. You might start with 15, 20 people, start in a smaller community. You know, I think I know a little bit about what you're doing, so that's not the approach you're taking. But that's what you might have to shift to and go to a much more a less launchy, that's not even a word, I made a word up, a less launchy sort of approach. So that's kind of my big picture thing. We can talk about some of the strategies in a minute. What would you add, Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, part of it is what you were sharing is reverse engineering the process, right? To say, okay, this is the day we want to launch. How many months does it take to get to that? And part of it is also answering the question, do you have a launch team? Do you have people moving with you or people who are on board, really your core, the people who are going to be doing this shoulder to shoulder with you?
Yeah.
And are you investing in them, right? Because part of it is if you have already developed leaders who have experience, you know, who know how to disciple, who are willing to take charge of these different areas, series, and we've talked about these different launch team roles in the previous podcast. But I mean, if you have people like that, then having them be a part of your launch process is going to be critical, right? Because then it's not just you trying to develop the launch for your team or you trying to develop the systems for each of these ministry areas, but you're doing it in conjunction with them, which would actually develop, it would actually be better leadership development anyway, instead of you trying to recruit someone to do your systems that you've already established.
Yeah.
But rather doing it together, setting it up together so they have more ownership over that.
Yeah, I think that's key, because I think launch, the word launch has to be in Seth and every listener's mind connected with the word team.
Yes.
If there's no team, you don't need to launch. You need to start. And you can start, and it's great. Praise God. You know, you can have five people and ten, and praise the Lord. That's why people doing it for 2,000 years.
Yeah.
But launch requires team. The team is not just a group, but a group on the same mission who are functioning in different roles. So you could probably get a team together and fast in 3 months, maybe. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I prefer 6 months. Yeah. I wouldn't go longer than 9 months.
Yeah, and it's also your personal span of care as well. As you think about that, the size of church that you are hoping to grow, because part of it is, I mean, you think China and India, where we hear this, hey, okay, or even in, I believe it's Cuba, where people who are being, our church in Edmonton, we'd go down and develop leaders there, and part of it was a brand new believer. Part of their DNA was, hey, we will plant a church in the first year of. You know, that was a part of their discipleship process to plant a church in their first year. But part of it is, are they planting a church with, 300 people coming out to launch? No, it's, 10 people, 15 people, 20 people.
That's right.
And that's their church size. And once they get beyond that, they're going to plant another church, right? Now, Seth, I hear you're wanting to have more of a high impact launch, which leads me to believe that you're wanting a larger congregation. So, having a team is so important.
Yeah, no question. And so you can build that. And this is where team members come in. So we've already addressed that. And we've addressed it in an earlier podcast on the key team members, or I think it's on newchurches.com as well, I think. Mm-hmm. And so what else do you need to do before that, right? So obviously, some of the basic stuff, you need to secure a place. If you're going to launch, you got to have a location. You need to prepare kind of a build-up strategy. How are you going to communicate? Are you going to use direct mail? I use direct mail in the churches I planted. Yeah. Are you going to use – I would be real careful, though. I'm direct mail is a tool, but the more important tool is the relationships of people.
Yeah.
Now, you might take the relationships of people, combine it with direct mail to give yourself a boost mm-hmm. for the first service. But, for example – what I do when we launch is we would have key leaders. So I might be the – in our case, we had a leadership team. But let's say it's a – let's say Seth's doing this solo. So, Seth, call all your key leaders. Hopefully you got seven or so key leaders you're working with, because you got seven systems you're working with in launch. So call all them. Ask them to call all the people that they're serving and leading. Yeah. Ask the people that they called to call all the people they're trying to reach. Ask everyone to pray about reaching 10 people. And then call them all the 2 weeks of, and then send them all a note, and then call them all the week of, and then really build towards that. Because here's the deal.
Yeah.
The launch, the Lord can really use the launch thing. People like to go to a grand opening.
Yeah.
If it's a grand opening of a Fresh Market, if it's a grand opening of a Lowe's, they like to go to that. Mm-hmm. So why not use that as an opportunity for people who maybe are spiritually interested but disconnected? Say, we're having a new church. You know what people hear? They hear no clicks, because there can't be a click, because no one's been to this church before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, here, let me check it out. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a lot of people that are new, so they're not going to be put on the spot or singled out. So if you can do that, I think ultimately the success can be evident in the launch. And I would also say, be really careful. Be really careful and remember that the end result can be has to be scaled accordingly. You know, Seth's in Illinois. You might not have, we had 200 plus here at our first service at the church I'm pastoring right now, and others in the past we've had that as well. In Chicago, you might have 100, you might have 150, who knows? Depends upon the work you put in, the team that you have, the outreach strategy that you used. But ask around around other churches that have been planted in your area. Say, what did you do? How did it work? don't think you're going to be the one who breaks all the rules. And, and I mean, praise God if you do, but kind of scale and plan accordingly.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, in our the new edition of Planting Missional Churches, we actually have an entire section devoted to developing systems, the systems that you need for church planting. So check that out. All right. Well, thank you again for listening in to the podcast. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't yet left a rating and review for us.
Who has not left a rating and review? I will call them out by name.
Yeah, we would so appreciate it. So log into iTunes and do that for us. And yeah, we'll check you out next time.